Thank you in sharing communion with us together. It really is very, very special. This morning, of course, we are sort of dictated to with the topic being Good Friday. But I've just entitled my brief message this morning, The Message of the Cross. And I take a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And I must admit that there are times when the New International Version is really better than many of the verses in the King James, and the translation might be slightly more accurate at some times. And I say that and some will disagree, but there are times when the NIV is slightly more accurate. But there are times when the King James just says things slightly better. And 1 Corinthians 1:18 is one of those, and I'll first read from the NIV and then I'll give you the King James Version. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The King James says the preaching of the cross, not just the message, but the preaching, the declaration of the message of the cross is the power of God. And that's why we're here today. We're here to remember, to reflect upon our Lord's death, and ultimately on Sunday we'll focus on His resurrection. But it is really difficult for us this morning to fully comprehend the depth of what was accomplished. I think I would want us to really try and step back this morning and just look beyond just the death or the picture we see, or a Jesus movie where we see Jesus on the cross dying. I want us to step back and try and understand the depth of what happened 2,000 years ago. It wasn't just the death of Jesus. It wasn't the death on the cross. It is what the cross represents. The depth of what happened in the unseen world, the depth of how it affected Satan and his plans, and what he understood or what he knew, because he knew that, I mean, Satan knows the scriptures, but he could not fully comprehend the gravity of what happened. And for us here this morning to try and fully comprehend the depth of what was accomplished for us on the cross is very difficult. The magnitude of God, His greatness, His majesty, His nature, His character, and that the cross is the embodiment of God's love. But it's difficult for us because the world that we are living in has changed the concept of love. What we understand love to be today is a very emotional, superficial feeling. But I can go back 100 years ago and I was in Jack Wills in Oxford, and I walked in and they got these stairs that generally go up to the men's department where I do tend to look, not shop. So I go up in this, and there's this beautiful, beautiful picture. It must be a poster from the Second World War, but it was deep. It was sort of almost like, to me, Van Gogh's sort of self-portrait, deep. And what it was a mom and it was three ladies. Sorry, not it wasn't a family. It was three ladies looking and seeing soldiers march, and it says something to the effect of, "The women of Britain support you," or "Thank you." It was sort of like the women are sending the men off to war. And I looked at that and it was really deep, because from my background, we never had that. And I want us to try and reflect back to 100 years ago what love truly is. Love was people willing to lay down their lives. They didn't have to, but they did. And that's the concept of love years ago, not just a male concept of war, but people were committed and sacrificed and laying down and getting our hands dirty. And today it's all sort of mostly in this day and age we're living in, all superficial. And just a hug means I love you. But the depth is lost. When we consider the cross, we have to try and understand the depth of God's love. That when we say God loves the world, according to John 3:16, the depth of that statement is the cross. That a price had to be paid. Today is not really a sad day. There is a bit of an atmosphere, but it shouldn't be sad. Why? Because everything that happened was foreordained. It was part of God's plan. Jesus said, you don't take my life, I lay it down willingly. Therefore, it's not sad. It was a willing choice. It's sad because we see the heart of man truly revealed in the fact that men wanted to destroy Jesus. But we see God and His plan unfold before our very eyes in what happened as Jesus approached Calvary. Jesus expressed the unconditional love of God without contradicting God's holiness. And I want to briefly focus on that, because the cross to me, it's two things. It's God's love, His mercy, hope and forgiveness and all the beautiful things. But there's another side to the cross that is God's justice, God's righteousness, God's holiness, because a price needed to be paid. And Jesus Christ expressed in His very nature, in His very being, in who He is, God's love, but also God's justice, because He paid a price. And that's the message of the cross. We focus so much on the death of Jesus. That's not the message of the cross. The message of the cross is not the fact that Jesus died. Many people have died. It's who died and what it represents. That is the message of the cross. Everyone walks around and says, no, but Jesus died for you. But people die every day. It's sad, but it's a reality. But the cross and the message of the cross is the fact that God Himself laid down His life to pay a price. And that's why today is personal. As much as it is the basic message of the cross and the message of Good Friday, but I want us to take some stock today on a personal level and ask ourselves, as the Bible says, examine yourselves to see if you're still in the faith. So we have to examine ourselves today, and I think that is what Good Friday is for all of us. It's a time to take stock and to examine our hearts and our lives. And that's the opportunity that we have this morning in sharing communion together and being together in God's house. It's a time to examine. Where are you and I? And I speak, the thrust of what I'm saying is more for me because it's personal. Where am I and where are you and where are we in relation to the cross? Are we closer to the cross than when we first believed? Or are we further away? There's this beautiful song that says, I cling to the cross. To the cross I cling. Are you and I closer to the cross? Are we clinging more to the cross? Are we holding on to the cross even more than when we first believed? Or have we drifted slightly and moved away where we're sort of touching, but barely touching the cross? Or are you holding on so tightly that there are splinters in your arms? Because we're holding on with everything we have. That's the question today. Are we closer than when we first believed? Because that's the message of the cross. That without the cross, there is nothing. Without the resurrection, we have nothing. And without the cross, we have nothing. We have ash to give to people. But we have more than that. So as we look at the verse, It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." Because if we don't accept Christ, if we don't know Christ, we are pretty much on death row as humanity. You're pretty much waiting just to die. And that's what Paul writes about, that it's foolishness to those who are perishing. They're in a constant state of decay. But to us who are saved, and if you look at the NIV says it better, the second part to the verse, the NIV says better, because if you look at the Greek word for saved, it is a progressive word. It says being saved. So you are saved, yes, but we are also moving toward a place of our salvation drawing. Our salvation is drawing nigh. So we are being saved. We are moving toward, ultimately, God releasing us from this world. So the two areas I want to just briefly focus on is, why is the cross foolishness to the world? Why is it? And we were very inspired. It's the first walk of witness we have seen or been a part of. Next time I might just wear some wellies rather than my shoes going to Higginson Park and having mud everywhere. But it was really encouraging being with fellow believers, and the walk of witness was fantastic. And Vera was mentioning that to me, which is lovely. But why is the cross foolishness? I believe the first reason why the cross would be foolishness is because humanity believes that it can fix itself. Humanity believes that it can fix itself. If the world just comes together, if we leave our prejudice, love that one, humanity leaves its prejudice, yeah. So if we leave our prejudice, if we leave things that divide us and just come together in unity, we might actually be able to fix ourselves. We can fix the world's problems with hunger, with disease, with everything. All we need is, we need the right doctors, we need the right funding, and all we need is just people to let go of religious animosity. All you need is a postmodern thinking that truth is relative, because it could be truth to you, it could be truth to me. It doesn't matter, as long as we just come together. That's the only truth we need. And we might be able to fix ourselves. That's how humanity thinks. Also, why the cross is foolishness is because there's nothing really wrong. Yeah, it's a difficult one. It's a very difficult one. Because, I don't know if you've had this, have you ever chatted to someone? Because I have this often with Vera, and I just always ask her, please just let me know if there's something wrong. Because sometimes with me, with my beard, when I do blow my nose, I have pieces of tissue that get stuck in my beard. So I always tell her, just let me know. All right? So, and then she'll be like, all right? So what's so funny about it is, you've got to let someone know something's wrong. But I don't know how it is in certain cultures, because it's easy because it's my wife. But I don't know if I'd go to Anne in the front just saying, Anne, there's a bit something, yeah. You've got a bit of ketchup. You know, a bit of brown sauce. It'd be awkward. And that's the difficulty. It's awkward for us to tell someone that something is wrong. It's better for us to avoid the issue. And the cross is a problem for this world, a foolishness to this world, because the world does not believe there's a problem. Why so drastic? Why does Jesus have to die? There's nothing wrong with us, really. And that's why it's foolishness. They don't get it. We, who have been regenerated and made alive by God's Spirit, we come to the realization that something is wrong. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be able to realize something is wrong. People that don't care about God and they reject the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives and the conviction that He brings, they will say, well, there's nothing wrong with me. Because we don't like to admit that something is drastically wrong. But deep down, late at night, all of us realize there's something wrong. So the cross will be foolishness because we don't believe anything's wrong. And what's so beautiful about the cross is the fact that the cross is the ultimate axe to the root of ego. And they don't like that. The world doesn't like the fact that there's nothing that we can do to fix ourselves. They want to be able to fix themselves. And the cross is the axe that lays to that root and cuts it down to say there is something wrong, you can't save yourself. And the cross then becomes a stumbling block and an offense. But the second part of the verse, which is the most important and most beautiful, is the power of the cross. What is the power of the cross? And the power of the cross is found in three specific words. They pretty much mean similar things, but it's three words. And I don't want to use big words, but I think it's important this morning. Well, this afternoon. So the first one is atonement. And the word atonement basically means exactly what it says, at one mint. It means to bring people together. But atonement is not something that is done. Atonement is the result of what has been done. So when we say Jesus is an atoning sacrifice, the sacrifice itself doesn't mean anything unless there is a consequence to what has been done. Because Jesus died, it makes it possible for us to become one with God again. That's what atonement means. So what's so beautiful about the cross is the potential it gives to everyone that believes in what Christ has done. It brings the potential there, or makes it possible to be reconciled back to God, brought closer together. So that's atonement. The second part is reconciliation. So atonement is, it makes it possible, and reconciliation is the reality. That the cross makes it possible for us and brings about the reality of us being reconciled back to God. That we become God-conscious and less self-conscious, we hope. But the world that we are living in and the world around us that doesn't know Christ is only self-conscious, self-aware. We are, yes, we are self-aware, we're human still. But we are also God-conscious, and that's what reconciliation is, to bring two parties together. Atonement makes it possible, reconciliation then becomes possible and happens in our acceptance of the cross. But then the final word is a very important one, and it's the word propitiation. It's a big one. Propitiation. What that basically means is there's a certain demand to make atonement and reconciliation effective. There's a demand that is set. Something needs to be done. A price needs to be paid. Jesus Christ paid the price which made atonement and reconciliation possible. So why is this important? Because that's the power of the cross. That when Jesus died, it wasn't just one thing. It was several things that became possible. That we can actually become one with God. We are then reconciled with God. Jesus Christ then paid the price because He is the perfect sacrifice. And that's why today is so important. Because we must come to the realization, and we pray for people this weekend to come to that realization, because that's the power of the cross. That there is no other way in which I can be brought close to God but through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Also, the power of the cross is the fact that salvation is given to us, and restoration, because we are broken. But through the cross, it is possible for us to find new life, which I believe is the Christian gospel. We have so many people that we know that will be here with us in the fellowship, and sometimes we'll meet them and know them, that are just broken. Broken people. And the cross makes it possible for us to share a message and become restored. Restoration starts taking place. That's power. Because no person can fix someone else. It's impossible. You might be able to do it physically, but you can't do it spiritually. No way. You can't do it emotionally. But the gospel and the message of the cross and what Jesus Christ has done makes it possible for someone to start being restored, where the past can actually be the past. We can start closing the cupboard with the skeletons in it, and maybe phone a removal van to take it out of your house. How wonderful that be. But unfortunately, what happens is we've got the closet there. There are skeletons in there. And we know about it, but we haven't removed the closet. We haven't taken it out. It's still there. So when you walk past it, you hear the bones, the skeletons rattling there. And you're like, oh. But in Christ, it's possible to phone the van guy, which is here somewhere. And he comes, and we can say, take this away. Because in Christ, it is gone. It is finished. It can be removed. That's restoration. Unless we make peace with our past, and once again, I'm pointing with one finger, and there are three and five extras, so let's make it eight pointing this way. Another one, nine. Because we have to make peace with our past. All of us have a past. But the cross makes it possible to make peace with the past. Why? Because God has forgiven the past. And is that important? If you've lived a good-ish life, maybe not that important. Maybe you love the past. Maybe you love the past times when there were good times. But I know for myself, and I know others, that aren't happy with their past, that feel ashamed or feel broken. The gospel can restore that. And as the Bible says, restore the years the locusts have stolen and eaten. And the final thought I have this morning with the power of the cross is that the cross is all we need. It's all we need. We don't need anything else. The cross is perfect. In the cross we find everything. The cross is perfect. And we trust that today. And we pray that as a church, and as churches in Marlow, and as churches in the UK and all over the world, as I was just chatting to Morris about that last night, just that basic message of Jesus died and in Him we find salvation. It's pure, it is perfect. To me, I don't know about you, but there are certain things. My mom, she was fantastic with certain things. She made a lovely chicken curry, a lovely one. It was special, really wonderful. She made a really nice, she could make some really good steak. But there are two things that stand out that were pretty scary. Was mom's cottage pie, was just not my favorite, because my mom is lovely, but she doesn't spend a lot of time. She'll just cook very quickly. And she didn't boil the potatoes long enough. So you'd get like a bitty, what is that? And it just wasn't soft enough, the potato. That's one thing. She knows about it. And the second thing was we had mac and cheese out of a packet. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong on so many levels when it's that yellow and you're like, what is that? Okay. So I use that as an example because I believe that maybe some of you have family recipes and things that your mom or grandma used to make that's very special. Would it be offensive to you if someone comes and changes that recipe that means so much to you? And say, oh, well, do you really need this? I'll change it. I'll put something else in there. It'd be offensive because it's not what you remember. It's not what is true. And to me personally, I say this with humility, to me, and I believe to God, it is very offensive to change the gospel. It is offensive to tamper with it. Leave it as it is. It is perfect. The cross is perfect. Let's not try and make it say something it's not saying. It is beautiful, it is perfect, and it brings salvation. And that's the hope that we have today. Let's bow our heads together and let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for what this day means to us and what it represents. Thank You for Good Friday. It is a Good Friday. And yes, we know that it can become just a religious process or just something to connect some people on only superficial means. But that's not what it truly is. This is Passover time. It's a time that the nation of Israel reflected upon what happened in Egypt, but You used that as a launching pad ultimately to speak of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, of Your new life that You brought through Your sacrifice, Lord. And we thank You for that. So we just pray for today, and I pray for all of us here, that we will take courage that we will take heart from what you've done for us, that we always know that you are with us. And if you are with us, and if you are for us, there is nothing in this world that could ever, ever be against us. Help us, Lord, to know that your love, your grace, your gospel, your truth will always win. And thank you that we can make a decision in our lives daily to be on your side, to be with you, to cling to the cross with everything we have. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for your precious blood that was spilled for us. Perfect, perfect blood, sinless blood. And through your blood that was spilled, through your body that was broken for us, we find salvation, we find restoration, we find all the beautiful things that come from you. Thank you, Lord, for that. And we just thank you for this day. Thank you for this time as we commit ourselves to you. In your wonderful name we pray, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.